Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Pure Nintendo Podcast. My name is Gemma, and this week I have the dynamic duo of Trev and Kirk. How are you both this week? Trev, how are you?
Hey, glad to be back.
I was going to do, you know what, I kind of stuffed up that intro. I was going to say we have the man of many talents, we have the review coordinator and our magazine distributor, Trev. Welcome, Trev.
Oh, see, that would have been my cue. I was waiting for Kirk to chime in.
Yeah, I know. And
we're trying to out-polite one another.
I know. And we have our roving reporter, Kirk.
Always because, ready to rove.
Yeah. And welcome back to the show, everybody, and thank you, listeners, for joining us. We have quite a few things to discuss this week. Every week there's something new and exciting in the world of Nintendo, and there's been quite a few little tidbits this week that have caught our attention. And I did want to just go back to that little roving reporter comment, because I know you have a little upcoming event that you can tease for us, Kirk. Do you want to just give us a byline?
Yes, real quickly, without giving too much away, since I don't know what I'm allowed to give away. We have been invited by a top-tier publisher to go to a media event in New York City next week. So I will be on hand to demo some new games that they're bringing to our system. I believe they've been announced, so there are games that we're aware of that are coming, and they may have teased one that has not been announced. So cool. I'm going to get some time playing them, and then next week we'll be able to discuss it and look forward to giving some detail on what we can expect.
Excellent. That sounds mysterious and intriguing. And I can't wait to find out more next week. So, yeah, look forward to that.
Yeah, should be fun.
Yeah. It's always fun to do a travel little trip. It's not too far for you, right? New York is relatively close.
Yeah, it's an hour and 40-minute flight from where I am. So yeah. Not too bad. And I lived there for 5 years, so I get to go back and hopefully have time to visit some of my old stomping grounds.
Yeah, that's right. I love that. I think I told you offline I always wanted to live in New York. I love New York so much. It's a great city. Yeah. Not like Homer Simpson's experience. Hey, Trev, in New York.
let's hope not like Homer.
I love that episode. A couple other things that happened this week, but let's start with the new Pokemon Presents showcase, I guess, that dropped during the week. And this was a little, 35 minutes worth of Pokemon related news. And we already know Kirk's not a huge Pokemon fan. Trev's kind of somewhere in the middle. He reckons I'm a little bit higher than you. Is that what you think, Trev?
I would think so. I didn't actually play a Pokemon game proper till the 3DS with it was a Pokemon Y, I think.
Yeah.
So I was very late to the, late to the craze. I feel like I kind of missed it when it started, and then it was intimidating trying to like catch up. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I was a bit late to the game too, but that's okay. Better late than never, right?
And, I suppose so. I mean, it's a lot of options, mainline and then spin-offs.
Yeah, exactly.
DLC.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're a real fan, there's a lot to keep up with, I don't know. This is probably a question for Justin. I suppose he's probably more into the video games, but are there people who do you select your almost like you like the games or you like the show or you like the card games or do people like all of them? I don't know. Right. Cause we're probably more in the video game vein of things in terms of our fandom. Right.
Yeah. I've never seen a show. I saw Detective Pikachu, the movie.
Oh yeah.
But
yeah.
That's about it for anything non-gaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've seen the original series. I've watched some of the newer series, watched a handful of the movies. And speaking of series, there's a new animated series. It's actually a web series that was part of the showcase. And it's called Path to the Peak. And it's a cute little show. It's about 10-minute episodes. There's one episode already live. So if if you don't know about this and you're interested, just Google Path to the Peak. It's free to watch on YouTube. And episode 2 will air on the 16th of August. So I think it's just a weekly thing. I don't know how many episodes there are. I did watch episode 1 and it's actually different to the other series in that usually you're in the world of Pokemon, right? Like Ash and Pikachu, for example. In this show, it's the real world, like it's our world, and it's all about the card game. So this little girl moves to a new city, makes some friends with some Pokemon card players, and learns the ropes of the card game. So it's pretty cool. And there's a bit of, yeah, it is interesting, to be honest. And it's interesting that
They're talking about like the real cards, not like the Game Boy Color game that was trading card game or anything, right?
The trading card game, yeah, like the game, yeah, the game. So you have your deck and you put down, you know, your starter Pokemon, and you have, I don't know how many Pokemon. I'm not really a card game enthusiast. So I'm not sure of the rules. They kind of go through it in the episode, but it's like speedrun mode.
I think the joke is even the players don't know the rules. I think that's kind of the running gag.
Well, that makes me feel better because my kids play it occasionally and they tried to explain it to me and I'm just like, what? It's just like, there's a lot to it. give me the video games, I think, any day of the week. but yeah, it's a cute little show. So if you're a fan, I think you'll dig it. But for us, I think there were a couple of games announced as well. Well, not announced. We already knew Detective Pikachu 2 was a thing. What is it? Detective Pikachu Returns? And they dropped a trailer for us, a new trailer. Did you check this out, Trev?
I did. I've been waiting to hear more on that. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was, you know, pretty cool. I feel like for someone like me who hasn't done a lot of the mainline games, these spin-offs are a little more maybe entry level. And of course I like that style of gameplay, and I remember being impressed on the 3DS, which how well it looks. So I think the move to Switch is only going to be, you know, better. It didn't necessarily wow me to look at the trailer, but I feel like it's one of those, once you're playing on your TV or in handheld mode, seeing it in motion, it's going to look nice. And I love all the coffee humor too, because I love me some coffee. Maybe not quite as much as Detective Pikachu, but
there was a lot of that.
Yeah, I think it'll be a nice. I think it'll be a nice game for. I mean, when's it come out? October, so that's only a couple months.
Yeah, October 6th, I think it is. Yeah, pretty soon.
So not even 2 months. That's
crazy, right? That October's that close now. Yeah, the trailer looked. I mean, yeah, like you said, it's not the best looking game. It doesn't look super flash or anything, but it looks cool in a Pokemon way, and it's like a point and click sort of adventure type of game, isn't it?
Yeah, which I love that genre. I realize that's not for everyone, but hopefully, you know, if you are a Pokemon fan, like probably I'm in the minority, if you are in the majority of Nintendo gamers who are, I think a lot of the recognizable characters, and I don't know how people feel about the voice acting, but I thought it was pretty good from what I heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it sounded good. I don't know how it compares to the original.
It's not Danny DeVito, but...
No.
Wasn't that the rumor they wanted Danny DeVito back in the day?
To be Pikachu?
I think when the 3DS game was getting localized, that's what everyone was wishing. So.
Oh, he would have been good. I would have liked that. I think that would have been quite amusing. And that's obviously not Ryan Reynolds either from the movie. So, yeah, that's okay. He sounded cool. And, yeah, he does the coffee jokes. There were like 10 in that trailer. It was like, there's a lot. One thing that I loved in the trailer was when Pikachu's riding around on that Growlithe towards the end. I thought that was adorable. He's like riding the back of the Growlithe.
Yeah, it's cute. I feel like.
And my son was watching it with me. He's like, I want to ride a Growlithe.
I feel like even the most jaded gamers, even if they're not into Pokemon, can sort of get swept up in the cuteness, you know, the charm of it all.
Yeah. Convinced, Kirk?
Nope.
That's okay. We've still got 2 months. Yeah, it looks good. And I like the style too, Trev. I'm with you on that. I like the point and click style. I think it's, you know, it's a bit of a departure from what we play day to day, I think. I'm not saying there's not other games like this out there, but it's just a little bit of a different style to, well, especially in Pokemon. Usually it's, you know, you're running around with a person and a Pokemon, you know, trying to catch more Pokemon and have battles and stuff. This one's obviously, because it's a detective game, you're kind of pointing and clicking around rooms and talking to different characters to get clues. Yeah, it looks really fun. Yeah. So, yeah.
It's more accessible. I mean, I presume if it's like the first game, it's more accessible. Point and click, mm-hmm. It's not like those old school Sierra games where you take the wrong step and you die. I mean, it's not that type of design. So I feel like it could be a good, you know, for people who aren't accustomed to that style of genre or subgenre, whatever you call it, mm-hmm. they could kind of wean their way into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think that's a good point. And
save early, save often doesn't apply anymore.
It's
probably a good rule of thumb in general, but yeah, nowhere near like those early games.
I still save as often as I can.
Yeah, you did need a dozen save files because you never knew when you were going to.
Yeah, it's like every 2 minutes.
A couple hours in. Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah, I still do that in The Legend of Zelda in Tears of the Kingdom. You know, I just came up to a Lionel, for example, when I was playing yesterday. And I'm just like, I need to save it before I face this guy. Because, I don't know, I'm not good with Lionels. They just race at me and he took me out as expected. And a fairy revived me, which I know happens to you sometimes, Trev. I have a bunch of fairies now, but I didn't want to waste it on a Lionel. So
Can I get off topic just for a sec, Gemma?
Of course, yes.
You reminded me of something, talking about Lionel. So I tried to... I basically grabbed a bunch of those, you know, those planks of wood where you can make like, you know, a raft or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I built myself basically this little sniper's nest. And I'm like, I'm just going to hide in here and shoot at them and let my allies slowly pick them off. And, you know, thinking I was relatively safe, man, he destroyed that like it was made of like, you know, crepe paper or something. I'm like, all that effort.
Really?
For like he just... an extra 5 seconds.
did he just plow through it, did he?
Yeah. I was really impressed. It looked like good. And I'm like, this is secure. I'm like, he may break it eventually, but I'll be able to do some damage. And nope. As soon as he got close, I was like, knocked half of it down. And then one more pass, it was gone.
Oh, wow. That's funny. Yeah. Okay.
I was like the orphans in The Simpsons. I had three walls and, you know, three's not enough.
Oh, yeah, that's funny.
That's it. That's my story.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. Thank you. The other piece of Pokemon related news from the Direct that we wanted to mention was Pokemon Stadium 2 on the Switch Online. Do you know about this one, Trev? I'm not super familiar with this one. Was it a Nintendo 64 game? Is that right?
Yeah, they were... I feel like they were kind of, well, the sequel was kind of late on the 64, but, you know, it's another spinoff. I think it was originally, they were meant for that add-on that only Japan got, the disc drive.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a little bit of a history if you're a console buff or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it's cool that Switch Online's getting another game. I wish they were a little more consistent, like where we could know, okay, every month we're going to get something, but...
That's true.
I'll take these shadow drops, I guess. Better than nothing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I haven't noticed a pattern. Is it just random? Is that what's happening? It's just, oh, here's a game.
Seems to be.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it would be good if it's like, you know, once a month or Fortnite or whatever it is, a quarter, I don't even know, they drop a bunch of games. And we know there's a schedule
and
that's released.
There's so many systems now on Switch Online too. It's like, you know, between NES, SNES, Game Boy, GBA, Genesis, you know, 64. Like, there's enough library. You could do a couple games at a kind of consistent pace, but yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now I hadn't thought of that before, but now I definitely agree that. That's missing for sure. And Nintendo likes to, I guess, what is the saying? March to the beat of their own drum? Is that right? I don't know. They set their own little...
That's true.
Did you have, Kirk, did I hear you say you were about to say something?
No, I was just saying, yeah, that's the right phrase.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Always happy to confirm phrasing.
I'm very good at mixing up phrases, so to get that right is a win. Cool. Yeah, I've not played Pokemon Stadium at all, actually, I don't think. So
it was pretty popular. I think it was a player's... Was it called Player's Choice back then? I think it was, you know, one of the million sellers that you could get for, $29.99 or whatever it was. Because 64 carts were expensive. I think they were like, $70 or whatever. And that's what, that's $2,000. So what is that with inflation? I don't know.
A lot. 100. Crazy. More probably. Yeah. That's interesting. With everything else
going
on.
That's why people complain about game prices today. It's like, do you guys remember buying, you know, Super Nintendo carts, 64 carts? Like,
That's a good point. They actually haven't gone up as much as everything else around us has, I think. Yeah, which is interesting. Cool. Well, yeah, I'll try to check that out and see how I go. There was another showcase, though, which was a digital, well, so was Pokemon. A digital showcase from THQ Nordic. Did you have an update for us on that one, Kirk?
I do. Sadly, I was not able to attend it or view it, I should say. I couldn't hop on, so I'm just going off a press release. Mm-hmm. But there are a couple things here that I did find interesting that I thought were worth sharing.
Cool.
The first is that there's going to be a South Park game coming to the Switch. It's a 4-player co-op called South Park Snow Day. Again, since I didn't watch it, I don't have a lot of details, but they basically say here that we get to join Cartman, Sting and Kyle and Kenny in 3-dimensional glory to celebrate the most magical day in any young child's life, a snow day. Grab up to three friends and battle your way through the snow-piled streets of South Park on a quest to save the world and enjoy a day without school.
So, interesting.
No idea what that means, except it's probably going to be, I mean, obviously it is a party game. And I imagine it's going to be somewhat off color.
Safe to assume. Yes.
I'm going to go on a tangent real quickly. There was a South Park game that was released for the Dreamcast, the Sega Dreamcast. I'm sure it was on other systems too. It was a trivia game. Oh. And I didn't have a Dreamcast, but I was at a friend's house on New Year's Eve playing it one time, and there was a fast money round where you had to hurry up and answer questions before Cartman got anal probed by an alien.
Okay.
And the category that came up for me, and you're going to love this, was Godzilla.
Oh my gosh.
So you had to quickly, they threw the name of a monster up, and you had to say whether it was a Godzilla monster or not. And I tore through this so quickly and totally nailed this category. And I love that game so much as a result of that, that it made me go out and get a Sega Dreamcast, even though it had already been discontinued. So I bought it just to get that game and a couple others. Didn't end up having it or playing it long, but
yeah,
but it was fun. Yeah. So hopefully this game ends up being as fun as that.
Cool. I didn't know South Park did party type games. I've only heard of the, is it like a kind of platforming or not open world, but third person kind of style? There's been a couple that have dropped over the years. But yeah, I didn't know about the trivia or this one, to be honest. And can I ask, is your Dreamcast in your basement with your other relics?
No, the Dreamcast is gone, I'm afraid. I don't know what happened to it, where I sold it. But yeah, it's gone.
The dream,
which
is
sad because we did have a Space Channel 5 on it, and we loved that game, and they've just never moved that game anywhere else that I know of. So we never get to play Space Channel 5 anymore either.
I was going to say, didn't the PS2 get that? I thought it did.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe, but I didn't have a PS2 either. Space Channel 5 was like this weird rhythm game set with aliens and such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The main character.
I was terrible at that game. I could not get the timing down.
Yeah, it was really hard. And I have pretty good rhythm, being a bass player. So if I'm having real difficulty with a rhythm game, then I feel comfortable blaming the controller or the programming.
Definitely.
Cool. The other game that they announced, and I'm more excited about this one, actually, or I shouldn't say they announced. We knew this was coming, and I've actually covered the site a couple times, is Trine 5, Clockwork Conspiracy. Mm-hmm. Trine is a puzzle platformer from a company called Frozen Byte out of Finland. The games have been around for a while, and I've been communicating with them for a while. I used to talk hockey with the developers. They were big hockey fans, and my hockey team had a some Finnish players on it. So they kind of made them their de facto team.
Cool.
Their de facto NHL team. But anyway, so Trine 5 is coming, and THQ Nordic showed that off today. They don't say in the press release that it's coming to the Switch, but they have announced earlier that it's going to be. The great thing about the Trine games are they're although they're multiplayer, you can play them by yourself, but the multiplayer is the best way to do it. You traditionally have had three characters, like a thief, a wizard, and a knight, and they all have different abilities, and you need to combine these abilities in order to progress through it and solve puzzles and beat the enemies and get to the hidden items and such. But it's a very fluid game, and the graphics have always been absolutely gorgeous, so colorful and so detailed, and it's a wonderful game to play. And it looks like this time there's going to be a fourth person, so you can play with up to three others this time, four total, as opposed to just a trio of players. So
yeah,
really looking forward to that. And it looks like it's going to launch at the end of this month, on August 31st.
Oh, wow. That's pretty soon. That's exciting. Yeah, I remember, well, you know, adding a fourth player might have made more sense for Trine 4, maybe.
You'd think so, yeah.
But I like that. I think I played Trine 3 because that was promoted heavily. Was it the Wii U? Was it
Wii U? I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, and that was the first time I'd even heard of Trine. And it looked gorgeous, like you said. Yeah, graphically. Very, very, very pretty. And, yeah, the three players with different abilities, the co-op kind of, you have to work together. It's like collaboration, really, isn't it? So
Yeah,
that's like exciting.
Some of the puzzles, if you're playing by yourself, a lot of them you could use any of the characters' abilities to just solve them in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get through it, but it is more fun to swap. And especially if you are working with multiple people, then you can time things and get down the teamwork so that you're able to really quickly get past things that could take a while if you have to single-handedly swap between the characters.
Mm-hmm. Do we know, because this is something that I think everyone asks these days, in either of those two games, Trine 5 or South Park, are they online? Like, can you join people online, or is it only local?
Or do we not know? I think Trine 5 would probably have an entry on the eShop already, so let me check there.
Cool. Have you, Trev, had any experience with these South Park games that we were just talking about? Or Trine, actually?
No. In fact, I think we need to put up a disclaimer. Because it's a family audience. I don't know if they want to hear about anal probing in a Dreamcast trivia game. But...
Is that what I said? I can't come up with anything that rhymes with probing right now. Banal probing.
I mean, if you were
about boring things.
Yeah. Sadly, if you were around when South Park started in the 90s, you would know that reference, because that was like one of the very early episodes, I think.
Yeah. I think the moment we say South Park
is like a lot of people
are just, they know the South Park is like Pokemon.
Well, I missed it at the time, and it was hard to catch up. So it's nothing like Pokemon. Only that I missed it initially.
Now we've got a bunch of parents who are going to be like, oh, my kids love Pokemon. It's so cute. Let's go get a South Park game. Nicely done, Trevor.
Edit that out, Gemma.
No way. That's going to be my sound bite for the week. It's like,
oh, yeah. You're a Nintendo uncut.
I've never played the South Park games, even though they did come to Switch, I think. There were two. I can't think. One was about like Armageddon or something. Can't even remember.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I do remember that.
Yeah, and I thought about playing it because I liked South Park in the 90s. It was pretty funny and original. All the kids did. I mean, I wasn't a kid. Like, I was a teenager, but you know, don't, yeah, if you have kids, do not watch South Park. It's not appropriate for a younger audience. Sorry, did you have an answer to that question?
Oh, about, yeah, there is a, back to trying, there is online multiplayer, yes.
Cool. Okay, that's good. Yeah. I had a feeling it might be with the Trine series being so... Because how long has Trine been around? When was the first one?
Oh, boy, it was the first one I played was on the Mac a long time ago. Sophie was really young because I remember she would sit on my lap as I was playing and just look at it.
Yeah.
Because it was so cool looking and so pretty. So, yeah, maybe 2005, 6.
Right, okay. It's a pretty long-running series, almost 20 years. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you seem to have a lot of memories of playing games with kids on your lap. Did you...
Well...
Was it Pikmin, did you say? Was that the
one? Yeah, Pikmin.
Yeah, I thought so.
I think, you know, a lot of people, when they become parents, they have to give things up, and I just found clever ways to incorporate everything
yeah.
at the same time so I could still do it. I remember when I would put my kids to sleep in their crib... And they wouldn't fall asleep, and they didn't want to be alone. I would lay on the floor and play the DS. So they would go to the sleep to the sounds of Puzzle Quest. I remember playing that a
lot. Cool. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if that's quality parenting or not, but you know.
Well, I mean, they're sleep.
My kids seem well adjusted. We'll say it was. It
worked. Yeah, I think so. You know, kids have to sleep if that's how you get them to sleep. I mean. You weren't playing South Park in front of them.
We got to get Sophie on the show.
Yeah, we should.
Actually. We got to ask Sophie how the parenting was.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. We get the other side of the story.
Yeah, totally different take on that. I mean, I read to the kids, too. Don't get me wrong. I wasn't just constantly shoving video games in their face. Like now I sell like myself short a little bit. But
Dr. Zeus? By any chance?
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. Marvin K. Mooney, Will You Please Go Now? Was always your favorite.
Yeah. I love that one too. Yeah. Definitely. Awesome. Well, thank you for the THQ Nordic update. Yep. And sorry, did South Park have a date, release date? Did we say? We didn't.
I don't think they had it. I got to go back now. I don't see it on the eShop when I.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we'll. I'm sure it'll have an announcement about a date soon, but it sounds like Trine 5 is the first one of those two to release this month. Yes. So that's cool.
It says available 2024.
Oh, okay. That's a ways off. That's yeah. Okay. Well, it's only 4 months really, isn't it? Until 2024. That's a scary thought. Anyway, speaking of new games, I guess we could move on to a couple that, they're out this week. They're out. They're listed on the eShop highlights for this week. Usually games drop... on a Friday, but these ones are dropping a little bit later, but they're out this week. And they are specifically Moving Out 2 and Red Dead Redemption, both of which I thought were worth noting because, well, various reasons. I guess I wanted to start with Red Dead Redemption, actually, even though I've written them in the other order, just because it was announced very suddenly that Red Dead Redemption was coming to the Switch. And I was interested in your thoughts, both of you, because I haven't played Red Dead Redemption, being a purist, Nintendo purist that I am. I know of it, of course. I've got a friend who's an Xbox aficionado, and he raved about it at the time. So it's a 2010 title, and it's a spiritual successor, I believe, to a previous Red Dead-related game. I can't remember the name of it. Red Dead City or something. Can't remember. You guys might know. And yeah, so it's 13 years old, very popular. I think it rated really well. I think it's like 90 plus, maybe on Metacritic, something like that. It's a Western kind of action game as far as I know. Anyway, so it's coming to the Switch. It's been ported. It's coming out on August the 17th. A few questions. A, have we played any of other versions of this game before? Trev, have you played Red Dead Redemption on another system at all?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you ask me?
I said
Trev.
I did say Trev, but that's okay. Maybe.
Oh, I apologize.
It's my accent. It's my twang.
You'd think I'd be used to it by now, but I don't know.
You think so?
We could be helpful and have names that are more diverse. I mean, Trev, there's a lot of going on there.
True. So. True.
Well, for those listening too, we don't have our video on, and so can't always tell. And I feel like my mic maybe has like a second lag because I always sound like I'm interrupting and I don't mean to. But
and I thought you were when just I do rude. Talk,
you know, at the time when I start talking, I don't hear anyone. So, but to answer your question, I have not. And I know nothing about this game except this one bizarre fact that I just learned in a spam email probably like 3 days ago. And you guys probably get them too.
Okay.
You know, they'll send things like, oh, this is the most popular game. And well, in this case, it's the most popular game in each state. And I learned that supposedly Red Dead Redemption 2 is the most popular game in the state of Oklahoma. So that's my bit of trivia. If any of our listeners are from Oklahoma, maybe you can let us know what the deal is.
Yeah.
They might have Red Dead Redemption 2 festivals.
Maybe.
That's the only one. All these others are like Minecraft or Elden Ring or, you know, but yeah, Oklahoma, Red Dead Redemption.
Red Dead Redemption. It's a lot like Pokemon.
It's like Pokemon meets South Park.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, okay. Well, thank you for that bizarre fact. We do like bizarre facts on this show. So thanks. Whether it's true or not. Yeah. Reach out, Oklahoma. Let us know. What about you, Kirk? What's your experience with Red Dead Redemption?
I haven't played it. Curiously, I do have Red Dead Redemption 2 for the PS3 in my basement because a friend bought it for me. He swore by that game and said I got to try it. So he got it for me. And in exchange, I bought him Xenoblade Chronicles 3 for the Switch. I don't think either one of us had put a minute into it, either of the games that we gave one another. So I have Red Dead Redemption 2 in the basement, but
in the museum.
I've never played it first.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Well, we're kind of all in the same boat then. I haven't played either. I mean, for me, I'm always happy to see games come to the Switch or come to Nintendo that previously haven't been on a Nintendo system. I think it's great to widen the audience and give players, you know, like me, a chance, I suppose, who's not a PlayStation player or an Xbox player. You know, I think that's a good thing. On the other hand, there's been a lot of controversy about the price of this one, which I'm sure you guys have heard about, because it's I think it's like a $50 game or something, and it's, from what I understand, it's pretty much just a port with some DLC. Yeah, there's no remastering or anything like that. So, you know, that's probably a little bit of a disappointment, I suppose, in that I probably don't want to pay $50 for this. I'm not that into it. Like, you know, if you're trying to convert fans or you know, garner new fans who previously haven't bought a, you know, I didn't go out and buy a PlayStation or an Xbox so that I could play Red Dead Redemption. So, not that interested, but I would like to play it, but it's just I don't want to spend $50. So that's, yeah, maybe there'll be a sale. I don't know. Do you guys have an opinion on the price factor?
I don't think I would pay that much for it, but that's also because it's all partly not my kind of game. You know, as I mentioned, if I'm playing an RPG, I prefer to have a bunch of really flashily dressed young people running around, I guess, and then like one older guy that they make fun of because he's too old at 35. And I'm not into Westerns that much either, so the combination is, it's just not, it may be an absolutely great game, and I bet you know, like my friend said, if I tried it, I'd probably get really into it, but it's not a game that I would go out of my way to try unless I was coerced.
Yeah, fair enough. Are you on the same page, Trev? What do
you think? If you were in Oklahoma.
Yes.
Well, that's why I don't live there specifically, because I can't get into this game.
No, not the game is not for me.
What about you, Trev? Would you pay $50 for Red Dead Redemption?
I would not. And I think, you know, especially if it's pretty much a port, you know, that's just upscaled, I think that is a bit high.
Mm.
And you could argue other companies have done that too, but it's just, since it's not a game I have any attachment to or even know much about, I'd take it past myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I think maybe because it was sort of shadow. I mean, it's not out yet. It's coming out very soon. And it was announced, I think, a week before it was coming out. So very little lead time, almost a shadow drop, which is some, I guess, one method of marketing. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if it does well, just because, yeah, it does have a lot of fans. Whether or not they would like to sort of invest another $50 just to play it on the Switch, maybe just to play it in handheld, I guess. That's the only kind of reason you might want to. There probably are fans who love it enough to do that. I don't think it's going to win over a whole lot of new fans, personally. Yeah, like I said, if it was, maybe if it's on sale, or, you know, maybe if it was a bundle, but then again, I'd still, do I want three games or two games when I'm not even, yeah, I'm not a super Western fan either. I do like Yellowstone, I have to say. I love that show, but I didn't think I would, because it is a Western-ish, I mean, it's set in today's world, but it's about cowboys. And yeah, that took me by surprise. So maybe there is something about Red Dead Redemption. Anyway, clearly not one for us.
You make a good point though, Gemma, about, because yeah. It's just, is it the trilogy, or is it just the one game?
It's just the one. Yeah. It's not.
If it was the trilogy, that would be a lot easier to swallow. You know,
absolutely.
But...
yeah.
No, like they did with Grand Theft Auto. But didn't exactly. They also, they got, like, the port wasn't good, right? I mean, no. I didn't play it, but I remember reading a lot of people upset about the performance of that. So do we even trust that the port of Red Dead Redemption is going to perform better?
Yeah, I read the same. I think that's a really good point. And I don't know, because it's not out yet, so we don't know. But it's a concern, I think. It's a valid concern. Because, yeah, that had a very bad reputation as a port. Hopefully they've done a better job with this one. But, yeah, it would be definitely easier to swallow if it was two or three games bundled together for that price, I think. And it seems strange that it's not, because are they going to port the others? I don't know. Maybe if it does well, they will. Maybe it's price gouging. I don't know. Not sure. But, yeah, good points. Let's move on to something a bit more fun and definitely up my alley. Is Moving Out 2, which was a surprise for me. I think maybe it was already announced, but I didn't know. So this one's coming out, excuse me, on August the 15th, which is, what day is that? Wednesday? I don't know. Very soon. And so Moving Out 1 was a 2020 title. It's a multiplayer game. It's about moving house, essentially. Have either of you played the original, Moving Out?
Nope.
Nope. Trev?
I have not. Sorry.
No, Trev. Okay. I'm going to take that as a no. That's okay. That's okay.
Oh, you can't hear me? I have not played it.
Yeah, no, I can hear you. Sorry. There was just a delay. But that's okay.
He was pining for Oklahoma.
We don't have good Wi-Fi here.
Yeah, 2023. Geez. Can't even get good Wi-Fi. What's going on? Yeah, so it is, I'm sure you're at least familiar with it. It is a pretty chaotic multiplayer game, somewhat akin to something like, maybe like Overcooked, or it's kind of like, I want to say like Boomerang Foo, but that's more the style of the game. You're not fighting each other. You're working together to move furniture out of a house, essentially. And it's very well designed. It looks like it's set in the 80s, kind of. Like there's lots of jokes about this moving company, and you're an employee at this moving company, and you're like hapless, you know, bumbling kind of people. You kind of, the physics are a little off on purpose, where your arms swing randomly, you can jump, and it's like really funny to watch. And you crash things, like you pick up couches and throw them, you hurl them into the truck. And the idea is to move from house to house, and they vary in design quite well. Some are small, some are big, some have pools or backyards. There's, you know, all sorts of furniture, anything you can imagine that people would need to move in a, you know, moving situation. It is incorporated in this game. And it's super fun. It's really fun. It's easy to pick up, hard to master, let's say, because, you know, your goal is to get sort of 3 stars in every level. And that is based on mainly the time taken. So there's a countdown, and if you do it within a certain time limit, then you get sort of more stars, basically. And there's other little objectives you can get, like don't break the window, or don't Don't let the turtle bite you or something random like that. Like sometimes there's animals running around and they can interrupt what you're doing. There's chickens and things. And you can smash, like literally you can smash the front window if you want, and you can just throw the furniture out the window and then put it in the truck. It's like a shortcut. But then, like I said, sometimes if you don't smash the window, you get bonus points. Some furniture requires two people to carry it. Some you can do with one person. It gives a little icon to show you. It's really well designed. Let's just say that. It's really well designed. It's really, really fun. If you haven't played the first one, it's actually on sale right now on the eShop. I think it's like $6 or something. It's very heavily reduced, and it's a really good deal. So I'm pretty excited about Moving Out 2, just because Moving Out 1 was so much fun. So we'll see what that's like when it comes out on August the 15th. But yeah, it's from, I think it's a collaborative effort between two developers, a Swedish firm and an Australian team. So yeah. They did a really good job. So we'll have more on that, I guess. I'll let you know if it indeed lives up to the original once we have that in hand. What else are we playing this week? We are still playing Pikmin 4, I believe. Not Trev, but Kirk. How's your Pikmin 4 journey going?
I hate to keep going back to Pikmin 4, but there's something I wanted to point out, because I got off of the game because I had to do some other reviews. So I stopped playing for a bit. My wife really got into it and was the first one to complete it. And I say here in our notes that it's the never-ending Pikmin 4, because when the credits roll, there's more to do. And I think everybody knew that was coming, but I don't think I understood just exactly how much more there is to do in this game once you've finished the initial story, because there's like a whole subchapter that's very important and may as well have been, you know, part of the actual story. But the every time, like Sam was playing it, he's very much I got to do everything and I'm going to beat all the Dandori levels with the top rating that you can get and going through that. But when you talk to Olimar at one point, he gives you this whole, these subquests that add like 50, they don't add more, I was going to say 15 more levels, they don't. But it's like a whole subchapter of what happened to him before the game even began. So you play through all that, and then there are like these really difficult Dandori challenges where you have to go through like 9 or 10 of them at once.
Wow.
And I think Sam was on that for like 4 hours one day, because he's good. Now keep in mind, he's very good with the Dandori. Mm-hmm. So it was just surprising to me like that there was that much more to do. And I know a lot of people, when they were talking about the game, and we even discussed about how easy it is. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of difficult stuff to do in this game if you want to do it. And maybe that's why they wrapped the story up, where they were like, okay, here are the credits. Now it's going to get tough. And if you want to do it, you can. But since you saw the credits, you feel like you're done and you don't have to.
Cool.
There are some challenges here that I'm just not even going to attempt, because my Dandori is not on that level.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome, actually. And I guess
I think it's fantastic. And I'll have my review done hopefully this weekend. And I'll be able to go into more detail on this. But wow, what a game. What a game.
Yeah, brilliant.
Has been.
That's really cool. I do love that never-ending aspect. And yeah, like you said, weeks ago that it was very accessible, you know, to pick up and play. And I guess easy is one way to put that. But having that extra challenge for players who want it is brilliant. Because, yep. Yeah, a lot of people do want that. So give the people what they want. Yeah, well, I haven't finished it. And as I said to you, before we started recording, my son was playing it this morning. He's up to day 23, I think, and mm-hmm. still to unlock the rock Pikmin. He just hasn't found them, but but he's got white Pikmin and everyone else, which is really cool. Anyway, it is such a beautiful looking game, and I just love it. I love every aspect of it, especially Ochi. Can't go past Ochi.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he's so useful too. Like, you know, you think he's just a cute guy with a couple nice perks, but boy, there are some things that happened, especially later on, where I would not have completed it successfully if I hadn't learned how to effectively use Ochi's skills.
Yeah, I still have to say, because you know how you can be Ochi. Like, you can run around as Ochi. You can kind of, yeah. Why did they not give people a chance to have a second person be Ochi and player one be the astronaut?
I actually have a theory on that.
Yeah?
And I was going to save it for the review, but maybe it's worth discussing, although I don't want to take up too much time. I think that the game's focus on Dandori and the whole, you've got to manage your time. You've got all these different things going on. And if you don't have things going on at once, mm-hmm. you're not efficient. You're not going to be able to get, you know, some of these, when you're in the caverns and you're doing these various tests, either the timed ones or whatever. If you're doing that with two people, that defeats the whole purpose of Dandori. That's I wonder if the developers actually considered that at one point, where if you're bringing someone else in, now you're not managing your time. You're having other people work with you, which is kind of the same, but not exactly.
Yeah.
I thought the games, because, and they, throughout the whole game, they're just hammering. And am I saying that right, Dandori?
Mm-hmm. I think so. As far as I know,
they're just hammering that home over and over again. When you're playing, they're like, you know, you're not doing this effectively, or, you know, splitting people up is key to Dandori. So you know, you're sending Ochi here and you're doing this, and you have these Pikmin carrying these things while the others are fighting over here. And I think that having two players may just defeat the purpose.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. That makes sense. I think you're probably right. They would have considered at some point being two player, just because Pikmin 3 Deluxe was, and maybe that they had to make that call, you know, it's going to work better as a single player game. So yeah, cool. Thank you, Kirk, for putting a positive spin on it. Yeah. And a few, did you have any games you're playing at the moment, Trev, that you wanted to highlight with us?
Not particularly review games. But I did. Mm-hmm. I did beat Hey Pikmin. That's my Pikmin contribution. Mm. It was a cute game. I quite enjoyed it. And yeah, now I'm ready to finally hop on the Pikmin 4 train.
Nice. Well, we look forward to hearing what you think about it, but I'm sure it will be positive as well. And I'm definitely excited to read your review, Kirk. So yeah. And I've been doing this lately, so please tell me if you like this approach, but I just love the anniversaries of certain things. And I noticed that this week we're going to be celebrating the Virtual Boy release in the US on August the 15th. It came out in 1995. So that's, what is that, 28 years? Is that right? 28 years ago.
Don't make the Virtual me do Boy.
The Virtual Boy hit the US. It never made its way to Australia, but it did happen to be released in the US. And did one of you say you had a Virtual Boy at the time? Did someone say that?
I had one.
Yeah.
Not in 95. I got mine.
No.
A couple years later, I think Blockbuster was discontinuing them and I got it cheap in a bunch of games. And
yeah,
it was fun for what it was. It was gimmicky though. And there wasn't, you know, there's only a handful of games. So
yeah. Yeah. I don't know why. I'm just so fascinated by the Virtual Boy. I think because it was almost this mythical thing for me, because it wasn't even out here. I had no way of ever trying it or playing it. And it was, you know, in the 90s, it was all about virtual reality for at least here. There were all these big, do you remember those big circle, I don't know what you even call them. Like, it was like a computer, but it was like a circle computer, and you step into it and you put these big things in your head and you could do virtual reality stuff. That was happening around that time, mid-90s. There was one at my school. Some fate, we had one. I'm like, that's cool. So
I don't think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, I'll have to look for a picture and send it to you and maybe put it into the YouTube video. But yeah, it was so different for the time. And I think Virtual Boy was trying to kind of emulate that experience, at least, yeah, without the... You couldn't move it, right? Like you had to sit still. It's not like you looked left or right to move.
Yeah, it was kind of clunky to use, but
yeah,
it was a little too ahead of its time, I think.
Yeah, probably, exactly. Another cool highlight is, so we're recording August 11th, which is, so that's today, in the year 2000, on August 11th, Paper Mario released in Japan, and that sort of started that new... Aww. Almost franchise, I guess, of the Paper Mario series, because that was sort of a successor to Mario RPG, I believe. in a sense.
Which is coming to the Switch.
It is. Yes, I'm very excited about that one too. So that's another highlight. That's a great series. And then we've got DuckTales Remastered. Came out on the Wii U 10 years ago on August the 13th. Not one I played. Who added that one? Trove?
What, really? Oh, man. That was a great game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, apparently. But no, I haven't. I haven't played that one. Yeah. So you recommend, obviously.
I do. And... In fact, that was one of my first Pure Nintendo assignments. I did an interview with one of the producers. I actually think we had multiple interviews because that was kind of a big release. And yeah, it's great. A lot of awesome voice work from the cast who I think, you know, a few of them have passed since, but great game. Even if you can't play it on Wii U, find it on, I don't know, Steam or wherever, but a lot of fun, especially if you like the NES game.
Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. I think there's a lot of DuckTales fans out there. So if you've missed that one, yeah, check it out. And we know there's a new WarioWare game coming out in November. And also this month, back 5 years ago in August, there was WarioWare Gold on the 3DS. So that's a nice little tie-in to the next WarioWare game, which looks really fun with that little, what is it, like a game board style of play, I think.
Yeah, I think it'll do better than the last game with Wario, which I feel didn't really maybe resonate with a lot of gamers for whatever reason. But I think this one is going to find an audience, a bigger audience.
Yeah, I almost feel bad that I didn't get the last one because I do like the WarioWare series and I just didn't get the last one. Maybe for the reason you said, I just didn't feel like it was, I don't know what it was. Just didn't grab my attention enough. So I didn't end up with that one, unfortunately. But they are good games.
Did you review it, Kirk? I can't even remember.
Did I review it? I had it and I played it. Yeah. I can't remember if I reviewed it. I mean, I had it and I played it and my memories of it are just kind of blah.
Which right.
saddened me because I had the one for the Wii. Was that Smooth Moves? Is that what that was called?
Yes.
And boy, we absolutely loved it. And like Trevor said, for some reason, I just wasn't able to connect to the new one for the Switch. So it's gone.
Yeah, it's a shame. Because, I think the Wii and even there was a DS. I think the DS had that. There was a really good one too. Or maybe it's we're talking about WarioWare Gold. But there's been a bunch and I think the DS and the Wii versions were really good and fun and addictive and... I don't know what happened. They've lost the magic a little bit. So hopefully they bring that back with the new one. And to cap things off, we have a couple of announcements, I guess you could say, for Pure Nintendo. Did you want to lead that conversation, Trev? New people?
Yeah, hopefully I'm not too far behind you here with my voice. But we do have a couple new faces on the Pure Nintendo crew. So if you hopefully are following our work, not just with the podcast, but on the site, and you'll be able to look forward to some of their thoughts. And we also, you know, we've been talking about the magazine because that's a new thing for 2023. We're back to physical copies. And if you are a subscriber, they all shipped this week. So you'll be listening to this on Monday. If you catch it right away, you might have it in your mailbox that day.
So. Nice.
Yeah, be excited. It's an awesome issue.
Yeah, it looks brilliant. That's awesome. Thank you, Trev.
I do have also one. If you want to hear a quick story on one of our new hires and how he got the job.
Sure. Yes, please.
He's a friend of my son in the marching band. And one day I went to pick up Sam. And when I was leaving, the writer's name is Kenny Massey. Kenny said goodbye to Sam, and then he said, "Hi, Kirk," to me. And I told Sam he needs to start showing his elders more respect and referring to me as Mr. Heiner. Tell him I want him to write an essay. And Sam did. And this is actually the second time I've done this. My daughter had a friend who I think she swore around me or something. And I told Sophie she needs to write me an essay on why it's important not to swear when she's out in public. And Sophie, who loves to write, as you know from reading her peer Nintendo stuff, was like, oh, come on, we got to do this. This is going to be great. And I think Fran was like, what? No. But they ended up doing this because it was fun for Sophie. But anyway, so Kenny wrote me an essay. He asked, well, what's the topic and how many words is it? I'm not going to give you word count. You know what? You use as many words as you think are appropriate to get your point across. And he wrote me the essay, and it was fantastic. I graded it like putting my old teacher certification to use, my English major, and I think I gave him a 95 out of 100. And wow. I said, "This is great. You're a gamer. You want to write for Peer Nintendo?" And he was thrilled at the opportunity to be able to do it.
Nice.
So there you go. Sometimes all the students out there are thinking that getting these writing assignments isn't doing you any good. You never know when the right person's going to get it and give you a prime gig, like being a peer Nintendo staffer.
Yeah, that is cool.
And that's the moral. If you give Kirk lip, you're going to end up getting hired.
You got it right. And he did have a couple well-placed digs on me in the review or in his article too.
Yeah.
One of the things about why you need to respect your elders is because they're old and they're slower than they used to be. I'm like, wait a minute. Is he saying I'm slow? I don't get what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm still pretty good at kickball, I think. I can...
You have to challenge him. Challenge him to a round of kickball.
That's right. Trevor will tell you I'm pretty quick at walking down to Little Tokyo in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's. I can vouch for it. I'm like, I'm getting a taxi back. I can't do this again.
Yeah. Do you need an incentive like food? Was food the incentive to get to somewhere? Like, I don't know, walking downtown.
It was for me to get there. We went down to Little Tokyo so I could get my onigiri.
Yeah, all right. And then coming back, there's less of an incentive. It's like, well, yeah. I just got to get back to my room.
I think you bought Godzilla toys too, if I remember right.
That certainly sounds on topic, yes.
Yeah. How else are you going to master those quizzes, those Godzilla-themed quizzes?
Yeah, wait a minute. What state do I get to move to because they appreciate Godzilla trivia? Because I know it's not Ohio. I mean, if Oklahoma has Red Dead Redemption, then I got to figure out where I need to be.
Yeah, well, Japan probably.
Well, yeah. Well, that's a life goal.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
gotta go to Nagasaki.
Yeah, we're getting pretty obscure with our references now, Trevor.
If you've made it this far into the show, thank you for sticking with us despite the obscurity.
We appreciate it. Yeah.
Anything else from you, Trev or Kirk, before we do close off the episode?
I think I'm good.
You're good? No more Japanese Godzilla
for me for the day.
No, I'm just thanks everyone who listens. And I will just say I usually catch the podcast on YouTube. To see, the clips and stuff that Gemma throws in. And we've gotten some nice comments. So depending on where you're listening to, if you're able to give us a like or leave a comment. I mean, we all read them, so we appreciate it. Mm.
Yeah, we did get a couple of really nice ones the last few weeks. So thank you very, very much. We do appreciate it. And as I said, as I've said in previous episodes, if you leave a question on YouTube, we'll attempt to answer it the next week. So yeah, please like and subscribe, and we hope you enjoy the show. You can catch all of our many reviews and other news items on our website, purenintendo.com. You can also, if you're interested in the magazine, head on over to patreon.com/purenintendo. You can support us over there, and you'll get the next issue in your mailbox. And with that in mind, thank you very much, Kirk. Thank you very much, Trev. Thank you, listeners. And until next week.
Mm-hmm.
Game on, everybody. Bye.
Bye.